Violet and Sunny both saw at once what Klaus was doing, and they followed suit. "Oh, yes, Genghis," Violet cried, as if she were joking. "Take off your turban and show us the one eyebrow you are hiding. Ha ha ha!"
"You three children are really quite funny," Nero cried. "You're like three professional comedians!"
"Volasox!" Sunny shrieked, showing all four teeth in a fake smile. "Oh, yes," Klaus said. "Sunny is right. If you were really Olaf in disguise, then your running shoes would be covering your tattoo."
"Hee hee hee," Nero said. "You children are like three clowns."
"How, how, how,"
Count Olaf said.
"Ha, ha, ha," Violet said, who was beginning to feel queasy from faking all this laughter.
Looking up at Genghis and smiling so hard that her teeth ached, she stood on tiptoe and tried to reach his turban.
"I'm going to rip this off," she said, as if she were still joking, "and show off your one eyebrow."
"Hee, hee, hee,"
Nero said, shaking his pigtails in laughter.
"You're like three trained monkeys."
Klaus crouched down to the ground and grabbed one of Genghis's feet. "And I'm going to rip your shoes off," he said, as if he were still joking, "and show off your tattoo."
"Hee, hee, hee," Nero said. "You're like three."
The Baudelaires didn't get to hear what they were three of, because Coach Genghis stuck out both his arms, catching Klaus with one hand and Violet with the other.
"How, how, how,"
he said, and then abruptly stopped laughing.
"Of course,"
he said, in a tone of voice that was suddenly serious.
"I can't take off my running shoes because I've been exercising and my feet smell. And I can't take off my turban for religious reasons."
"Hee hee."
Nero stopped giggling and became very serious himself.
"Oh, Coach Genghis," he said, "we wouldn't ask you to violate your religious beliefs, and I certainly don't want your feet stinking up my office."
Violet struggled to reach the turban, and Klaus struggled to remove one of the evil coach's shoes, but Genghis held them both tight.
"Drat!"
Sunny shrieked.
"Joke time is over," Nero announced. "Thank you for brightening up my morning, children. Goodbye, and enjoy your breakfast without silverware. Now, Coach Genghis, what can I do for you?"
"Well, Nero," Genghis said, "I just wanted to give you this rose. A small gift of congratulations for the wonderful concert you gave us last night."
"Oh, thank you,"
Nero said, taking the rose out of Genghis's hand and giving it a good smell.
"I was wonderful, wasn't I?"
"You were perfection," Genghis said. "The first time you played your sonata, I was deeply moved. The second time, I had tears in my eyes. The third time, I was sobbing. The fourth time, I had an uncontrollable emotional attack. The fifth time..."
The Baudelaires did not hear about the fifth time, because Nero's door swung shut behind them. They looked at one another in dismay. The Baudelaires had come very close to revealing Coach Genghis's disguise, but close was not enough. They trudged silently out of the administrative building and over to the cafeteria. Evidently, Nero had already called the metal-masked cafeteria workers, because when Violet and Klaus reached the end of the line, the workers refused to hand them any silverware. Prufrock Prep was not serving oatmeal for breakfast, but Violet and Klaus knew that eating scrambled eggs at their hands was not going to be very pleasant. "Oh, don't worry about that," Isadora said, when the children slid glumly into seats beside the quagmires. "Here, Klaus and I will take turns with my silverware, and you can share with Duncan, Violet. Tell us how everything went in Nero's office." "Not very well," Violet admitted. "Coach Genghis got there right after we did, and we didn't want him to see that we knew who he really was."